Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When Abraham was interceding for Sodom, Genesis 18, he said, when God told him that the outcry against Sodom has gone up to him, and he's going to see if they are even as evil as he's heard of it. Then at some stage, he asks him that, Abraham says that, takes it upon himself to intercede for Sodom. And then he says that, where he talks and says, and the Lord said, because the outcry, suppose there were 50 righteous within the city, would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Praise the Lord. Now, in other words, Abraham is challenging God that you are the judge of all the earth. That's also what I want you to get there. But saying it's not right for you to slay the wicked with the righteous along with the wicked. Then he says, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? Now, I'm going to tell you something, that there's a lot of people. I'm going to teach you a better way to pray. Praise the Lord. Because, see, prayer is totally misunderstood within the church to mean begging. People think that prayer is, begging and asking God and so on. And that nothing could be further from the truth, by the way. Because Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, John 15:7, you shall ask anything that you desire, and it shall be done for you. He does not say it shall be given to you. He says it shall be done for you. In other words, if it is not there, he will do it specifically. He will create it specifically for you. Now, he can give you what is already there. But he says, you shall ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done just for your sake. Okay? And now, when you look at this scripture, but it says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you. Now, that's a very important aspect of all that, because what people do not realize is that when you go to God, you go as if to a judge. You go as if you are going to a judge. Now, judges make their rulings in accordance to certain things. You don't go to a judge and plead. Imagine if you had a lawyer and you appeared before a judge and the lawyer is pleading, instead of stating your case, instead of saying that according to this law and this law and this law, this person is not guilty. And because what the lawyers actually do is they state the law and precedent, isn't it? Now, you think that started in courtrooms? Yeah, it started in the Bible. By the way, all that law thing started in the Bible. The British common law, which we copied, they get it from the Bible. This is what you shall do when somebody kills somebody intentionally. Those things of when they say, malice aforethought, when somebody intended to kill somebody, as compared to when somebody accidentally killed somebody. All that is in the Bible. They picked it from there. Those things, this shall be like this. It's all from the Bible. And those were laws which were given. And God is the judge. Now, when you go to a judge, you do not go with pleading. That's not going to take you anywhere. What those lawyers do is they state the law and precedent. Two things. In other words, the law is, this is what the law says. Precedent is, there was a similar case some time ago, and your fellow judge ruled like this. In other words, if your fellow judge ruled like this, you're also supposed to rule the same way. You understand? So there's a precedent. There's something where it has been done before. So, and now the judge is going to make his ruling according to what you're saying, according to either the law that you've stated or the precedent that you brought forth. Now, how is God any different? He's not. Praise the Lord. When you go to Isaiah 43, start from verse 25, I want you to see that Isaiah 45 says, I, even I, who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Now you would see, it would be good if he blotted them out for your sake. But he blots them out for his own sake. Not for you, for him. Because he wants to bless you. And if he did not blot out your transgressions, that would be something inhibiting. So he says, I would sort that so that you come to me with no guilt in this area. But still come and state your case. Okay? But he says, I'll blot them out for my own sake and I will not remember your sins. In other words, now when you go to the judge, you do not go the way some people go and, start reminding God about, I'm sorry about this and this and this and this. No, he has forgotten. He doesn't remember. You're the one reminding him. And he did not forget because of you. He forgot because of him, for his sake. That's what he says. It would be good if he forgot for your sake. But no, it's better if he forgets for his own sake. You see, otherwise there would be no business between us and him. Because those transgressions are always going to be there, isn't it? But he says, now let's get that out of the way. It's not there. Now I blot out your transgressions for my own sake. Now, when you come to me, go to verse 26. He says, verse 26, put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case. What is your case? That you may be acquitted. State your case. Praise the Lord. State your case as to a judge. And the words, the law that you're using is his law. Okay? And so you say, according to your law, according to your word, which is law. Now, that the same way you'd speak to a judge if you go there. You are not saying, judge, forgive me, what you're wasting your time. That's not the basis of that arrangement. It is all about the law says this, and therefore I'm quoting this law, and this law, and this law. And therefore, according to these laws that I've quoted, you are supposed to acquit my person. Or, according to precedent, now it says, put me in remembrance of what? Of his law, of his word. Remind me, what did I say? Has he forgotten? No. You are supposed to have those words in you. You think the judge doesn't know what the law says? No, but it's the work of the lawyer to remind him what the law says, even if the judge knows it. Isn't it? Because judges are first of all lawyers, right? But he's not going to rule in accordance to what he knows. He's going to rule in accordance with what you have told him. Even if he knows very well there is a law which sets you free, your lawyer has to present that law. Otherwise, the judge will keep quiet. And he knows the law is there. And you will only go by what has been presented. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now he says, state your case that you may be acquitted. Okay? You see, even earlier on, by the way, this is real quoting this whole thing. Because you go to verse 9. He even says, bring your witnesses. Just like in court. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified. Now this is a real quote. Or let them hear and say it is truth. Then he goes ahead to say also him he has witnesses. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be any after me. Now, he's stating that I am God, and besides me there is no other. And now, you are my witnesses. Then he goes on to say, has any other person declared things and they came to pass? Aren't you witnesses of mine, that I am the only one who declares things and they come to pass? So you are my witnesses. Then he says, now you bring yours. Bring your witnesses. So I'm going to tell you how this works. I'm going to show you how this works in the scripture. Bring your witnesses. Now, when you understand that this is how faith operates, if your words are bad. Now, imagine if you had a lawyer who does not know the law. He would be like how some of you go when you go to pray. And you go to beg rather than to state what the law says. You see, you're supposed to say this is what your word says. And therefore, according to your word, you're supposed to bless me here because you said it. That's the law. Praise the Lord. And he has told you himself, put me in remembrance. Put me in what? Remembrance. Now Moses did that when he was interceding for the children of Israel. In Numbers what? 14, I think. Numbers 14. When God tells him that get out of the way. Let me just destroy these guys with one blow, and I will make out of you a new nation. Then Moses comes out and says, the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? Go ahead. I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. Verse 13. And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands before them, and you go before them in the pillar of the cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Go ahead. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations will have heard of your fame. Nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring these people to the land which he swore to give to them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. Go ahead. Now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken. Now he's quoting the law. Okay? To God who gave the law. Just as you have spoken, saying, okay, the Lord is long-suffering. You are the one who said you're long-suffering. Didn't you say it? Okay? The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting iniquity to the fathers of the children to the third and fourth generation. Okay, go ahead. Pardon the iniquity of these people. Now, what is the basis of him asking God? You are the one who said you are merciful. Didn't you say it? Now, therefore, since you said you are merciful, that is the law. I am quoting your law to you. Now, pardon these people, pardon the iniquity of these people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven these people from Egypt even until now. You see, now he has presented the law, and he has also presented witnesses. I have seen you've pardoned them before. So I am a witness that I have seen you pardon them before. So now what does a witness do? A witness acknowledges that there is something which has, you know. So he says, now since you've done it before, and since you said that you're merciful, now forgive these people. Okay? And according to the greatness of your mercy. Go ahead, verse 20. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according, not to my word, to your word. Amen? It is his word, but it has to come from you. Praise the Lord. Remember, I told you the judge does not quote to you the law. It is up to your lawyer to bring the law. You see, the judge probably knows what the law says. Or precedent, he knows. He has been through that. But now he says, I'm pardoning you according to your word. Now it was his God's word. Now it has become your word. And it works according to what you say. Now it will only become your word when you've gotten it from there, from what the law says, and present it to him. Okay? And you've given him your witnesses. Then you don't go to pray as if you're begging. You know that doesn't always apply to all things, but I'm going to show you. But you know that you have a case before God. Okay? He says, your transgressions I put away for my sake. Now that you have no sin, as far as I'm concerned, I don't see any wrongdoing in you. State your case. What's your case? Then you come and say, God, you said in your word, A, B, C, D. And even before, I have been in a similar scenario, and I have now precedent. You know what precedent is? Where it has happened before. Okay? Now, let me tell you something. I know this because sometimes you forget certain things. Now, when you're going through, let's say, a bad financial place, then you are tempted to pray to God for money. Then he reminded me that you're wasting time praying for me. I have never withheld money from you. I want you to be rich. I want you to have money. So if money is not coming, I am not guilty. Find out what the devil is doing to steal your money. Amen? So don't start begging, because as far as he's concerned, he wants you to have a lot of it. But there has to be something standing in the way. So now he reminded me that don't ever ask me for money, because for me, I want you to have it. So it can never be me guilty of withholding money from you. You see, some people think that you did something and somehow God will. He doesn't. He does not. It says that no good thing will he withhold. The scripture says that from those who love him. No good thing, every good thing. So then he says, find out what the devil is doing to steal your money. Praise the Lord. And then I found out what the devil is doing. Now, as long as the devil can hammer you and point you towards God, then you'll be there begging God, God, please, please. And he's saying, what? No, me, I have no. Like, as far as I'm concerned, I want you to have it. Somebody is stealing it. Amen? It's almost like you go to school and your parents give you, you know, lunch. And there's some bully at school who comes and grabs the lunch. And then you're crying to your parent, I want lunch. No, it's not me. Me, I gave you lunch. Somebody is stealing it. So he says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now, you see the reason this, the other scripture was so important, that he blots away our transgressions for your name's sake, for his own sake, is because now when you read, for the Lord is good, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now, if you had not read the other scripture first, you'd say, but do I really walk uprightly? Yes, he said there is nothing wrong with you. He removed everything wrong for his sake. Otherwise, you'd start judging yourself. But maybe I'm not upright. Maybe here it's not talking about me. Because he says to those who walk uprightly. But now because he says he blotted away all your transgressions for his sake. Now when they say upright, you say here I am. When they say righteous, I am here. Amen? When they say holy, you're talking about me. Praise the Lord. Because he removed them for his own sake. Otherwise, you would have no chance. But you see, he knew. So he says, okay, let's deal out with it. So now he says, no good deal would he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now, when you have the word in you, and you present your case, state your case, and you present it there like Moses did, and said, you said yourself that you are long-suffering and merciful. So since you said it, therefore, forgive these people. Didn't you say it? Now, when he said this, it is law. The word of the king is law. Amen? So everything that he has stated is a law. Now, you present the law to the judge. Remember, Abraham called him, shall not the judge of all the earth do the right thing? So you present the law to the judge and say, your word says that I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. That's what your word says. Therefore, my pocket does not reflect blessing, but I expect it right now. Because according to the law, this is what it is. This is my story. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. According to the law, I am rich. The law is the word. Praise the Lord. That's why he says, if you abide in me and my word abide, my words abide in you. Imagine if you present and your knowledge of the law is sketchy. You're reading laws, you don't know them, you're misquoting them. No, here you actually present something and you don't beg. You see, people think that God is going to hear you because you've said it over and over again. No, that's not what they do in court. That's not how they do to a judge. Your backing is the word. And that is the basis for your faith. Now, I'll tell you this. If you went, let's say, to buy, let's first see what Moses did elsewhere. He interceded for Israel so many times. First in, which one did we read? Numbers. Let's go to Exodus. Exodus, I think, 14, 15. Where also God says he's going to remove these people and disinherit them. And Moses said the same thing. He quoted to him the law. And he told him that, remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore that you are going to bring their descendants to this land. You swore to them. Now you see, you've cornered him, if that is possible. You see, eh? Because he's saying he's going to destroy these people. Then you go and say, but remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You swore to them that you are going to bring their descendants to this land. Therefore, right now, you are not at liberty to destroy these people. Praise the Lord. And then God says, okay, I will not destroy them. Now you see, that you think God has forgotten what he said? No, but you see somebody has to stand in the gap. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn? You start from verse 10, so that we see. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them. And start from verse 9. Because it says, and the Lord said to Moses, I have seen these people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Okay? Now you see, God is saying, let me alone, leave me alone. You see, eh? Because Moses is the priest, eh? And God cannot destroy the people unless Moses gives them up. So God is saying, you just leave me alone. And then Moses says, then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Verse. Then he says, remember your Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self. You see, now you've cornered him. Amen? If it is possible, you've cornered who? You've cornered God. You say, you swore to them by yourself that their descendants you'll bring into this land. And say to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven. And this land, and all this land that I have spoken to of, I will give to your descendants. And they shall inherit it forever. You swore to their fathers by yourself. So the Lord relented from the harm which he had said he would do to his people. Praise the Lord. Now, if he had found you, you'd be crying, Mukama, 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 Mukama. Like, and you're wasting time. You're like a lawyer who is crying before a judge. State your case that you may be acquainted. Praise the Lord. Even says, bring your witnesses. You can present with, let me tell you. I was sometime in a tough corner. And you see, sometimes you are in a corner where you are alone, you're being hammered, nobody knows what you're going through. So you're alone. So you start presenting your case to God. And you present it. And then you say that, Lord, you start bringing out precedent. I remember when I was in this place and this place, in a very tough situation, and if you saved me from that. Even here you saved me. Now you're bringing out precedent. Okay? And even here you saved me. Then by the time I'm through, my faith is up in the roof. I say, even this one, you're going to save me. You have no choice because you've done it before. I have the law. I have the law on my side. Amen? Now some of you think that is what? That is pride. Because you've been taught to beg, to plead. No. Like if God said it, he said it. So you present your word. Your word says this. And I come as a benefit. Like I'm stating my case. Now you see, the reason people pray for so many hours for the same thing is because they don't have faith to believe for it. And they think the many words or the pleading is going to produce faith. But I'll tell you this, it will not. So you have to first work your faith outside of. If you're asking, let's say, for a material thing, you first work your faith outside. And then when you come to pray, the faith, just one word is enough to connect. You see, faith is like, you see the way you see electricity in a wall. Okay? There's electricity in the wall. Somebody went and did wiring and what and all that. Now prayer is like flipping the switch and the light comes on. If there was no wiring, there's no light which is going to come on. If there's no electricity, if there's no connection, you'll flip the switch and you'll be in darkness. Now faith is the background work that you have to do in order for that one thing to happen. There's a lot of background work that you have to do within yourself to get yourself to a place of believing. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? Now that scripture, very, very powerful, because Jesus is walking, going to raise somebody from the dead. And then he's going. And then this woman comes. And then she the Bible says, she said in herself that if I just can touch. Now she's wiring. Okay? Now the touching is the switch. She's wiring and she has convinced herself that if I just touch, okay, the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. Now she has built her faith. You don't know how long she has been building that faith. That I'm looking for Jesus. First of all, remember in their time, it wasn't so easy for women to be moving around like that, especially actually if you had an issue of blood. So she must have taken time to say, if I see that man, if I can touch the hem of his garment, that's all I need. Now she comes, and there are people around him, all over around him. Then Jesus says, who touched me? Then even Peter says, but Lord, there are people everywhere touching you. Those ones don't have faith. They get nothing. Some of them could have been sick, but they got nothing. It's not the touching that makes her heal. It is the faith before she touched. It is what she believed before. Now, a certain woman who had a flow of blood 12 years had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Go ahead. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Okay? For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Okay? Immediately the fountain of blood was dried and she felt in her body that she was healed of half of the affliction. Go ahead. Then Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that he had power had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Now, listen to what Peter says. But his disciples says, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? In other words, there were so many people touching him, but there was only one who touched him. You see? Now, you think those who were touching him did not have problems? They did. But there was no wiring. But you see, they said, there are so many of them. But this one came for her. She had built her faith before, and she had all she needed was that contact. Praise the Lord. And then you say, who touched me? Go ahead. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Go ahead. And he said to her, daughter, I have just healed you. Is that what he said? Your faith has healed you. He did not say me. It is his power that healed him. But his power is powerless without your faith. Praise the Lord. So he says, your faith has healed you. But not even these people who have been touching you may be having sicknesses. They didn't have the faith. Praise the Lord. Now that's what I'm telling you, that you build your case before. Now, what happens if you do not have faith? Let me give you an example. You're praying for, and sometimes some of these things happen. I remember some lady came to me and she was having problems giving birth. She had been married for a while and was not conceiving. So she came to me and said that, Pastor, I want you to pray for me to give birth. Now, previously, I would have just, try to pray and try to make things. But I looked at her and I knew she had no faith to conceive. Deep down inside herself, she had not seen herself as a mother yet. You see, you think you can solve problems by just prayer without the background work that is necessary. So I told her, let's continue praying. That's a political answer. but I knew nothing was going to happen. In other words, it is up to you to go when you come and tell me when you've built your faith and come and tell me, now come and pray for me. I believe I'm going to conceive. I am telling you, I know. Like, I would pray and immediately, what? You conceive. And I can tell when somebody is ready, is ripe, when they have done the background work. Without that background work, you're wasting your time. You'll come and say, pray for me this, pray for me that, pray for me the other, what? Nothing. Amen? Somebody the other day came and told me there was a job to be, he wanted a job, but somehow they didn't want him there. And he had the best qualifications, but he had applied, they didn't want him there. So he came and asked me to pray for him. Then I sensed he had a bit of faith, but not 100% faith. But at least there was something to go by. So, let me tell you, don't play with faith, because it is not about the other person. Even Jesus here said, it's not about him. It is about what the woman did. It is her faith. His power, yes, but her faith that made him well. I remember a long time ago, back then, some girl comes to me and tells me she had sat exams at the university. Now, this is somebody whom I knew. If I told her to do something, she would believe in me, because she really believed in me as a man of God. So she told me she was going to get a what? A retake. Because she had gotten 47, I think. And the pass mark was 50. And she told me, I don't want to have a retake. I said, do you believe that we can whatever? She said, yes. And I saw she really believed it. So we prayed. She got 47. When the person who was entering the marks in the computer was writing, he put 67. And she did not have a retake. And once it gets into the computer, that's your mark. Nobody remembers what happened what happened behind there. Now, that can only happen to very few people, because for her, I saw her, she believed. So she knew that if we pray, I'm not going to get the retake. So now, your faith has made you well. Now, you see the reason people go into so many things. Let me tell you, there are so many stupid things which people do, because they have refused to just accept that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen? They think that somebody can come out and some things happen and what, without them going through a tough period where you stood and you just believed God and say, I am going to believe God. And you have faith. There are people even in churches who are telling people, no. They are cultural people who you can go to and they do some smoke. And there's a lot of stupidity going on in the churches. And that's, by the way, in church. And, you know, the devil he makes people think that these things is a one-off proposition. You think you can go to the devil once and get what you want and you leave him. If he comes for even those who have never gone to him, how about you who went to him? It will be a simple thing. And I know people, some of them will come here to pray for them, and all they wanted is, she was in campus some time ago and she wanted some boyfriend. That he has money, but he's mean. How come, let's go to what? To somebody who is going to help you. He will start giving you money. And they make it look like it's one-off. The devil is never one-off. It is never a one-off, I'm telling you. Now we are going into politics. You are going to see how many Christians will be running for one-offs. But they are going to be in bondage all their lives. Unless, of course, they come and we pray for them. Amen? So small, small things. Then there's somebody who told me, she was even here some time ago, and they were telling her to go to somebody who reads palms, that a palm reader. Then somehow, she came here, and I spoke about that. I said, do not be deceived to go there, because the devil will give you a finger and take your whole arm. Like, that's how he operates. And he will pull a miracle on you until either you go back and start sacrificing your children, or you will kusirana or fail. I don't know. Some of you might not understand this language. Kusirana is now an English word. Praise the Lord. Haven't you understood it? So now, these things where people believe that what? You put it to somebody, you put it up to somebody. That now I've gone to... So you pray for something, you don't get it. Then you say, it's because the man of God does not have enough power. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. And by the way, he says that of almost 90% of all the people whom he heals. He says, your faith has made... Because he knows it is his power, but it is the work you did behind. So now, the question is, if you're praying for something and you don't have faith, you don't have the faith to believe it, but you want it. Let's say like that, what? Like that lady who wanted to conceive. What do you do? Now, you can choose to be the religious thing. Oh God, I want a child, I want a child, I want a child, I want a child. And you're not stating any case. Okay? Or you can there are two things you can do. First of all, there are precedents of people in the Bible who did not have children and God gave them children. Then you say you are the God of Elkanah. When she cried to you and you gave her a son. Also, now you're bringing precedents. You've done it before. The parents of John the Baptist, who were old and could not give birth. Now, you just need, the scripture says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, shall a word be what? Established. You just need two precedents in the Bible. That's why those stories are there. There's nothing that you want that somebody else has not wanted before. And that's why those stories are there. There is a precedent. So there was... Was she called Elkanah? Samuel's mother? Eh? Hannah. Who is Elkanah? Eh? Her husband. Eh? She was called Hannah. Yes. Now, there is Hannah. I don't have... God, you are the God of Hannah. She cried out to you and you gave her a child. Also, me now I want a child. Now that's a precedent. Okay? Then you also the mother of who? Sorry, the God of who? Of John the Baptist's parents. Eh? Elizabeth, who also did not have a child. There might be even others. You remember even Rachel. You remember Rachel? Because her co-wife was laughing at her, and then she got a son, and then she says, God has heard me and judged in my favor. In other words, I called to the judge and he ruled in my favor and also gave me a son because my co-wife was laughing at me because I have no son. Amen? Those are all precedents. Then, now you have a case. Okay? You have scriptures. Here is it. You have to get one or two scriptures which specifically talk about what you want. Specifically. Now, they might not say, God gave somebody a Range Rover. Okay? If that's what you want. But you know that he has, you know, there are scriptures which you can get, which he promises. Like, I will give you whatever it is you desire. Isn't it? So I desire what? Now, so you get scriptures, two scriptures that specifically promise that. Then get two witnesses or precedents where somebody asked God in the scripture for it and got it. Praise the Lord. And then you present, state your case. He says, state your case. So this is my case. Your word says here that you give me this. And also in this other scripture, it says the same thing. And also in the Bible, this one didn't have a child and you gave them a child. The other one didn't have a child, you gave them a child. Therefore, I have a solid case. Now I'll use the word cornered, but of course you know it's not cornered. Now you present to God as you come to God as a mature person who knows what you're talking about. Okay? And then there, your case, they have to rule in your favor. But in case you don't have the faith, there are things that we do to get the faith, to believe for things that we want. For instance, if you read Jude verse 20. The book of Jude, verse 20, what does it say? And they gave, Jude. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Praying in tongues I'll give you an example. If I want a Range Rover, and that's my need, I have scriptures which promise it. I have precedents where God gave something to somebody, not necessarily a Range Rover. But you know, he says, I will give you the desire of your heart. Doesn't he say that? So you present your word. You say, Lord, you said in your word that you give me the desire of my heart. Right now, the desire of my heart is a Range Rover. You can even state the full details of it. What model, what color, what. Now, but you don't have the faith to believe that you can drive a Range Rover. Amen? You know what I'm saying. You don't yet believe inside you that you can. Now, it says, building your faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what I do. If I really wanted that Range Rover, I would get a picture of it. A picture. And put it somewhere where I can see it. Okay? And then I sit and start praying in tongues with that Range Rover there. Looking at it. And believing, trying to lift my faith up to that place where I can believe for it. And I will start wanting it. There's a difference between hoping you'll get it, wanting it, and then believing. You see, eh? There's a big, big difference. Big difference. But that difference can be bridged just by praying in tongues. It says, building yourself up on your most holy faith. Building your faith. So let's say you want a very big house somewhere. Now, there's nothing you can want that God can't give. Amen? The only thing is you need to believe. And that's where the problem is. But it's not a problem. It's just a problem because you do not know that. You can get there and actually look at that place and pray in tongues. And imagine yourself in that house. And start seeing yourself in that house. And build pictures of how you're going to be in that house. Until you start feeling like you're in the house, yet you're not there. And people look at you and say, you're crazy. You don't even have money for boda boda, and you're talking about a big house. God. Amen? You'll sound as crazy as Abraham, who calls himself the father of nations, yet he can't even have one kid. Who God says you are going to, your descendants will be like the sand of the sea. Say, sand, God, forget sand. Me, I just want one kid. Eh? That the stars, you see, that is the same God. Praise the Lord. So, like when somebody says crazy, that shows that you're in line. Because you're as crazy as Abraham. That's why he was called the father of faith. Because he's believing he's going to have descendants as the sand of the sea. He can't even father one kid. Okay, with his wife. Anyway, praise the Lord. Now he says, you beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith. Now, that's how you build yourself up and lift yourself from where you are to where you want to be. Let me tell you this story. I've told it before so many times, but some of you are new. But let me tell it because it never grows old. Because for me, this is the template. The one thing that taught me that there is nothing that is beyond me if I have the time to construct it. Because there is a place where you construct it in the spirit. Amen? Now, there are people who really do not have time to construct anything. They don't. They are busy doing other things. Then they end up begging. Then, amen? You see, there are people. Somebody was telling me the other day when I was saying we build a community and, you know, we have tea and what. So somebody comes and says, you know, yeah, since they said we shall build a community, yeah, also me, I have a need. Now, this is a gentleman asking a lady. You see, also, there is something wrong with today's men. Eh? Like, then he told the lady that I got a house which I want to enter into. So I want you to give me the first 3 months of rent. So now this is how you destroy our community. We don't want a community of beggars. And the problem with people like that, they will never say that, do you have any job I can do or what? They want to be beggars. Let me tell you, in our days, there is no way a man can beg a woman for money. Like, there is something wrong with you. No, and honestly, women are allowed to beg. But now, imagine me, I go and start asking a woman, like, she was, why don't they just cut off your things? No, you, let me tell you, there is a sort of stupidity going into our what? In our communities. How can a man ask a woman for money? Anyway, okay, there are certain extenuating circumstances. Maybe let me not make it extreme. But you see, now the problem with people like that, they will never even come and say, do you have any job that I can do? No, they don't want to work. They want the money. Bring the money. Bring the money. Okay, supposing they give you 3 month rent, what would you do after the 3 months? Beg again? And then after that, what would you do? Again? Praise the Lord. When we're young, you could not even... if there's a girl you're trying to impress and she calls you when you're broke, you switch off your phone. You only answer her phones when you have some common. Like, how are you going to say that? Okay, we go out, but... You say, no, it's okay, it's okay. You see? No, it's okay. If you don't have money, I'll be the one to pay. I could never do that. Never. Why don't you just take my manhood and like there are certain things which are not right. Now you can deceive yourself all you want, but they are not right. You see, when this was the other day I was seeing some I'm digressing a bit, but you forgive me. The other day I was seeing they were saying how men's natural instinct, women's natural instinct is to be caregivers. So they did an experiment with a couple who had a child. The child wakes up at night and cries, and the man will sleep through it. He will not wake up. But when there is a noise outside, the man wakes up, the woman will sleep. Because the man's instinct is to protect. Is anything wrong? Then they would make, like, things make sounds outside. The woman sleeps through it, the man wakes up. But a baby, the man sleeps, the woman wakes up. You understand? Because men are naturally, like, he feels the protector of his son. So if there is any danger, he's the one who's going to wake up. But if it's the child, he might sleep through. As that makes sense. Now, the natural thing is for men is protect and provide. Those are natural. Protect and what? Provide. Now, if you're... Anyway, next thing you will be hiding when your wife is getting a stick to attack thieves. If you are the kind of person who asks your woman for money, then you've exchanged roles. Praise the Lord. Now, this... anyway, let's go back to the Bible. Let's go back to scripture. What was I talking about? No, I tell you this because this is a template. I've told it, of course, to many of you who attend here all the time, you know it. But this was a template for me that I can manufacture anything I want if I know this. You beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So now, when you've built your faith and you have your scriptures, and you have your precedent, and you go to God, you're not begging. You have a case. He said, state your case. This is my case. Your word says, Psalms 35, you shall give me the desire of my heart. Right now I feel like a Range Rover. And your word says this. You have two scriptures. You can add three. It says two or three. Then you give precedence. Even here, so-and-so asked for this, and you gave him. So-and-so asked for this and you gave him. Okay? And then here, the scripture says, you remember the prayer of Jabez? Eh? He says, may all that the Lord would do what? Bless me, enlarge my territory. And what else? And do what? You sure say. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Go ahead. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Now you have a precedent here. Okay? God, even Jabez asked, and you gave him. Now your case is being built. Your case is becoming strong. Now, when your case is strong, you are in faith. You know that you're not going to go and repeat yourself, as if God doesn't, as if like you really have to shout for him to hear. No. And if, let's go back. Now, what I was telling you is, that story I was telling you, and I'm even about to end. That thing of building your faith, building your faith, believing that something is there for you to take. I remember one time when that must have been about 2015 or so. I sent some lady who was part of our ministry at the time and told her to go and get for me an office. I wanted an office to be at. And I felt led to have an office, watchman office. So I went there. So the lady went and I told her our budget was 1 million shillings a month. Now that girl, God bless her, Rugezigezi. She went to Renzori Towers, where the budget is not anywhere close to 1 million shillings. And then she called me when she was there. I said, you come and see this office. I told her, what are you doing there? I told you what my budget is. What are you doing there? I was actually angry. She said, no. You have nothing to lose. Just come and see. You know, when you're not in faith, you even get angry. Has somebody ever shown you something and they are trying to show you something and you get angry, yet they actually wish you well? So I said, that's not our budget. You don't waste my time. She said, come and see. You have nothing to lose. So I said, I have nothing to lose. So I got my Capajero and drove there. So I arrived there. I went. So I found her in the boardroom, sitting with the lady who was in charge of the offices. So I arrived there. I looked at the place. I said, this is not where I belong. Like I said, this is not where I belong. I cannot afford this. It was so clear I could not afford it. Anyway, so she told me that. No, you talk to her. How much? So, you know, they think I'm a client. So they start showing me places. This is where we make coffee. This is where we do what. And I'm saying, okay, I'm just going around saying they're wasting my time. I can't afford their place. But then they show me. So this is where we do what? So this is where... Then, something crossed my mind. And said, but why can't I afford it? So I said, okay. They said, which office would you want? So I said, I want this one. It was at the very beginning, if you remember. I want this one. They said, okay. So I said, can I sit inside the office? They said, okay, sit in there. Then I sat in. Then the lady told me, can I get you a cup of coffee? I said, yeah, that's a good idea. How do you want it? I said, you know, I told them how I want my coffee. So they brought the coffee. So I sat in the office and drank my coffee. And I looked at the city because it was a bit high, you remember, overlooking the city, and I felt nice. And then I looked at the city, sipped on my coffee, and then I finished. When I finished, I got the feel of how it feels like to be in that office. Now, I went home with that feeling, and I spent 2 weeks imagining myself in that office. 2 weeks. I would pray in tongues, building up my holy faith to have that sort of money. So I would be there. I would be seated in my house, which was here, somewhere not far from here. But in my imagination, I'm in the office. And I'm there praying in tongues. Shika braza tarabashiro boro. And I'm seeing the whole city. Then I'm imagining myself going to the cafeteria where there is coffee. Then I pour myself some nice coffee. Then, you know. Yeah. 2 weeks. Then after 2 weeks, I told the lady I will come back after 2 weeks. I went back after 2 weeks. I can tell you I reached there and I knew I belong here. This place is no longer too good for me. This is my place. I was not fooling myself. I had moved from there to here. The first time I was even feeling misplaced. Have you ever felt misplaced? There's a time we tried those things of what? Of faith. Then those long ago years. Then you go to Spear Motors and they give you a brand new Mercedes and they say, sit in here, drive around. And you feel awkward. Because you know you don't belong there. You understand? But it's just because you've not built your holy faith praying in the Spirit. If you really want that thing, just sit there, get it inside, the imagination inside you. Go somewhere and imagine yourself driving that car. Give yourself time. Now you think, where would the money come from? The money follows here. That's exactly what happened. So the next time, after 2 weeks when I went there, I entered the place. I was even wondering what was so great about this place 2 weeks ago. Like, it ain't all that. Now I had grown myself. Growing. Building myself up. I'd built myself up. So I reached there. Then I arrived. And I told them, let me have a look at the contract. So they showed me the contract. Now I wasn't feeling out of place at all. I was feeling like a client. So I reached there. They gave me a contract. I looked at it. I said, let me go and take time to study it. I'll sign it and come back. So I came back after like 3 days. After signing the contract, they said the contract will start working when I get the money. I said, no problem. In 3 days, I had the money. And I paid for the first 3 months. And, praise the Lord. Now, the money does not... Some of you are waiting to get money to feel like you belong in a Mercedes. No. First, belong in it and see if the money will not come. Amen? First, belong in that house and see if the money will not follow. God, money is beneath... Let me tell you, we are creators. God made the world, but I can imagine God sitting and saying, I want to create the world. He imagines the rivers, the what. He just imagines them, and then he speaks them. And then they come into being. And then he says he created man in his own what? So how does man create? Same thing. You imagine and speak. The same way God created the world. So you imagine yourself in that house and say, now that's my house. That is my house. And then you sound stupid until it is eventually your house. Until one day you are in it. And the people who said you sound stupid will not be in it. You will be the one in it. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so I signed the contract. Then I entered the office. But now I felt like I belong here. So I sat there. Now, let me tell you something. I wish you knew how in those 2 weeks I moved from there to there by just meditation. From not belonging to being, this is my thing. Anyway, then after about 2 weeks of being in the office, the ladies who were in charge, two Kenyan ladies who were in charge of running the office, one day I'm seated there in my office, they come, two of them, then they take seats. Then they ask me, what does the watchman do? So I tell them that, we don't do anything illegal. Why are you asking? So they told me that we didn't think you do anything illegal. But they told me that, but there's something about you. Because ever since you came inside here, signed the contract and started, we've received a lot of clients. They said we are struggling to find clients to fill these offices. But from the moment you came, clients started pouring. Now the offices are almost full. They told me that. And then they are not even born again, by the way. And they told me, it has to have something to do with you. So I knew, so I am a blessed guy all along. The blessing of God is upon me. Let me tell you, God can do something as a testimony to tell you that you are blessed. That even you go and see, do you know, because of that, they even spent 2 years without increasing my rent. They had said the first 6 months they are going to increase. But I'm the one who has the blessing. If they increase, I will go with my blessing. So after six months, I waited for them to come and say increase rent, nothing. 1 year, nothing. 1.5 years, nothing. After 2 years, the lady came and started asking, slowly, pola. Okay, you see, okay, we've been at the same rate for now, you know. Please consider. I said, okay. Because I have the blessing, I can go with all the clients. Praise the Lord. Anyway, My point is this. Never forget this. If you do not have the faith, just pray in tongues with that with the matter that you want in your mind. Just build it. You have this business, you imagine. Let me tell you, this is the story. This is how I do it. Like when I sit down and I'm constructing something, like if you're constructing a business, sit down and this put a, in your business, say this year my turnover is going to be this amount. State. Then now start imagining it and build yourself, build your faith. Because you might not have the faith to believe it, but just build it. Praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. And this is the closest to magic you'll ever get. Praise the Lord. Here, but you see, people don't want to believe the things of God. They prefer to believe things the other side. But this, praying in tongues and imagining something, it works for anything. Anything. Like anything. You're pregnant, you want to give birth to a boy, not a girl, if you prefer that. Just imagine a boy. See him running, do what, as you pray in tongues. Even if it was a girl, she will become a boy. This is creating. Don't, do you understand what I'm saying? This is creating anything you want, anything. You just put your imagination on it, fix it there. Fix it there. Put your imagination on it. And then pray. Now build your holy faith, most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. There's a reason I'm sticking to it, because you will be deceived that there's anything bigger than this. There is nothing. This is it. I can imagine anything. And don't think I don't imagine them. I can imagine anything. I remember I started doing that too. Every time I had a function, I remember I had a book launch. Everything, I imagine how I want the book launch and everything, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm praying in tongues. And I'm constructing it the way I want it. And believing that it's going to be as perfect as I want it to be. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now, if you go to pray, and you're still praying like religious people, begging and pleading. You imagine if you had a lawyer and you went to the judge and started doing that. Now, Musonyiwe, what? There is no basis for that. A judge rules according to law, according to precedent, and according to witnesses. Praise the Lord. I have told you how to do that, haven't I? Law, precedent, and witnesses. So if I want something from God, I will not, before I even ask about it, I'll first make sure I have the faith for it by doing this. That is wiring. Like that woman of the issue of blood. She first took her time and said, if I can just. So there was a lot of background before she touched the hem of his garment. Now put in that background work. Background. Then when you go to pray, you have a stellar case. You're not begging and you're not gambling. Because a lot of people go to pray and they are gambling. Let's see if God will do it. There is nobody who does that in a court of law. There is no gambling. I see lawyers spending the whole night. Some lawyer told me he was in some political case. He had to read books like this. He said, I spent 3 days without reading. I mean, without sleeping. Reading. Now, does the judge read? No. It's up to you to present the law to him. For him, he just waits. Then you tell him, your worship or whoever, your honor, according to this law, subsection this and this, this is supposed to be like this. And according to this and this, this is supposed to be like this. And he's just listening to you and he's going to make a ruling based on what you're saying. On law and precedent. Two things, law and precedent. There is nothing you can ever want, and God guaranteed that from God, that there is no precedent in the Bible where you say, God, even so-and-so in the Bible asked about it, and you did it. Even so-and-so asked about it, and you did it. Now I'm also asking. And you've spoken in your word. So you presented your case, and he says, and you'll be acquitted. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And by the way, let me tell you, You think it's, but when you present, all this is part of being mature. I remember, like, there's a level of maturity you get to where there is nothing about you which is begging. There is that man whom I used to read so much, and I listened to him still when I was young, called Kenneth Hagin. And he said one day, he was pastoring a church, and they called him and told him one of his people had died. And the person who had died was a prominent person in the church, prominent person in the business community, and so on. So the guy fell down. He had these factories and what. So he was somewhere in his factory, and he fell down and hit his head and died. But he didn't completely die. He was brain dead. So they put him there, and he went there. He said he found his wife there, and what? They said he's brain dead. We're just waiting for him to lose his pulse, and we put him away. So the nurse said, "But before I finish my shift today, he would have died. So this man, he spent there the first night, what, without completely dying, but really brain dead. So now Kenneth Hagin says, "No, we can't lose this guy." So he said he went into the corridors of the hospital and started stating his case and told God, "I'm going to give you 5 reasons why this man cannot die. If you can give me just one, then you can hold him. But me, I'm going to give you 5 why I'm not going to allow him to die." You see now how faith talks. Eh? Faith does not plead. He says, "I'm 5 reasons why I will not allow him to die." So the reasons are, some of you might see. He said, first of all, he gives 35% of his income to the church. We need that money. Secondly, he was a very good Sunday school teacher, superintendent, and we haven't had one as good as him in a long time. Thirdly, he has a young family. He has children who still need him. Fourth, he had 5 reasons why the man cannot die. I'm not going to allow him. I've refused. Then he says, "God, give me one only, just one." Then, when you're still there in the corridor, the man woke up and recovered consciousness completely and came alive. Then he came to church and he said that he was actually dead. He was in heaven. He was in heaven. He said he was there on a chill. Then he saw Jesus walking towards him. Then Jesus told him, "You have to go back." Then the man says, "I don't want to go back." Then Jesus just did like this, as if there was a curtain, and just pulled the curtain, and he saw Kenneth Hagin in the hospital. And Jesus told him, "That man there will not let you be here. You have to go back." And the man came back to life. Now, that's what they call stating your case. Okay? Now there is no religion there. That's like, there is no religion. God, we have refused. He's not going anywhere. We need him. He can wait to go to heaven later. The following reasons. Then he said he tried that another time, but this time it didn't work because another guy died. He said, "These are the reasons." Then God said, "Also me, I have my reason." Then he showed him a scripture, and he told him that the Bible says that those who sow to the flesh. Shall reach corruption. Then he said, this one you're praying for has sowed too much to the flesh. So this one, you have no case. I am ruling against you." So the guy stayed dead. But let me tell you, you're praying for somebody. You're praying for someone and say, "No, he has to get healed." Now you see, there is no religion here. So this person is sick. Then he goes to pray for him. And then he says, when he's trying to say God heal him, he just says God save him. The word heal cannot come out of his mouth. He wants to say heal, but eventually he has what? Save. Then he said, "What's wrong?" Then God told him, "That man has a very hard heart. If he gets healed, he might end up in hell. You leave him die and come to heaven." Let him alone. Let him die. Because God says, as if I've cornered him now, if he doesn't die now, you'll not come to heaven. So you leave him alone. Let him die. So now this man said, "Okay, But you see, Tavira Mwao, he said, okay, I've accepted, let him die. But I've been teaching people about healing, and I don't want them to hear that somebody was with me died of sickness. So let him get healed, and then he can die. Because I have a reputation to protect. So let him first get healed. Then after getting healed, he can do what? Die. Because if you have... Because you see now God is telling you that I can heal, he can get healed, but he's a very hard-hearted man. And now is the best time for him to die if he's going to go to heaven. Otherwise, there's no guarantee he can come back and become something wild. So he said, okay, but let him first get healed. So the man got healed and then did what? And then died. Praise the Lord. Now, where is the religion? There now, no, these all things which you see on prayer mountains, people begging God, that is not prayer. That is not prayer. Prayer is based on the word, precedent, okay, and witnesses. Witnesses, which are there so many in the Bible. The God of Abraham, who did this, okay? The God of David, who did this. You are the God of this person. You've done this before. Therefore, do it for me. Now you're stating precedence, like in the law. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now go and pray, don't beg. I finished preaching. Is anybody sick? Who is sick? You. But some of you people should not be praying for you. You're supposed to receive your healing by what? What are you sick? What are you suffering from? Come. If it's private, you don't say. Now, there's also allergies. There's somebody who has, like, real allergies. You come and we pray for you. You might not consider them a sickness, but they are. What are you allergic to? No, but it comes as an allergy. To what?
Like, in coldness, when it's cold.
Yes. Anybody else with an allergy? You know, for some of people don't consider allergies as sickness, but if you're allergic to dust and you're poor, you're in serious trouble. What allergy? Something else?
There's a cancer.
Do you have his picture?
The phone is... I have it on the phone, but it's in the car. Can I jump in?
Get the picture.
Okay.
Hurry up. Ria, let me start with you. What's your name? Sharon. Ria Sataraba Shahamazitor, Shokamazon Tahashila Marasatarisha. Okay, I want you to point your hands towards her, your right hand towards her, and let's pray. She's called Sharon. Sharon, Okay. Ria Sataraba Shahamazitor, in the name of Jesus, rebuke and a sickness. Now, there's also fibroids. If you have fibroids, please just... In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that irregularity in Jesus' name. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Now, I command the irregularity to come out of Sharon right now in the name of Jesus. And I speak regular, painless, and proper in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It comes out of you right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You come and tell us. In the name of Jesus. Now, are you ready to be free of the allergies? What's your...
Allergy, my son and wife.
Reba Satar, in the name of Jesus, come. I rebuke these allergies and I command them to depart from whomsoever. In the name of Jesus. Now I want you to try out something different. If you've, allergic to cold, you try standing in the cold and not sneezing. Okay? What are they allergic to?
The wife, it comes every morning, she comes, breathing becomes very problem, and even to the son, every morning he has flu and it goes.
Okay, it's not going to come back again.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm. And you? Sinuses, eh? Both they be here. Yeah.
Chiwanga.
Thank you.
What's your problem? Sinuses,
eh?
Yes. What's your name?
Maureen.
Did you come with your husband?
Yes, I did.
Eh?
Yes.
Hey, okay, easy. Let him come. You first stand here. Where is the picture? Give it to them. I want them to. Eh? Yeah. Okay. Sinus says, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke them. Point your hands to them. Let's pray for them. Yours?
Eyes, just itches,
man,
tears,
okay.
That's coming
up. Okay, also allergies, eh? In the name of... And yours also allergies? What?
As if fibroids, but
yes.
I never,
but what?
I've never gone to get, like, to check, but the signs and symptoms. Yeah.
Okay, you hold your stomach. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke them and I command them to come out. Come out right now. The fibroids, in the name of Jesus... I command you to dissolve and come out in Jesus' name. Amen. You go and check, eh? Go and check. And also you, all of you, receive your healing, eh? Say, receive our healing. Receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Have you put it up? This is your husband, eh? I want to speak a blessing, eh, over you, eh? But then... A blessing that will transform the laws in your life. Eh? But then you have to commit to not going to places which are fake. Okay? There is a place you go on Thursday, and as long as you go there, you're going to become broke. If you still want to go there, it's okay. You go. But you see, you can't go to a latrine and you don't come out smelling. Are you ready to stop going there? Let me give you time to think about it. Okay, receive your healing. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. Put up these people's whatever. Put it up. These are who and who?
My brother.
And
cancer. Yes, he has colon cancer.
Colon cancer?
Yes.
Has he given you permission to...
No, he hasn't, but we've been praying with my husband.
Okay, then it's okay. Hey, he's bedridden. Eh? What's his name?
He's called Timothy Sebuja.
Timothy.
Yes.
So I want you all to just point your hands towards him and rebuke cancer. Rebuke cancer from Timothy in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up Timothy before you in Jesus' name. We rebuke that spirit of cancer and we command it to come out of his body right now in the name of Jesus. We speak health and wholeness upon his body in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we decree Timothy rises up out of that bed in the name of Jesus and walks away free and healthy in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay.
For myself.
It's okay. We'll pray another time.
A blessing, sinuses and a blessing.
No, I mean, this is for blessing. Have you agreed with what I told you?
Yes.
You know, let me tell you something, you people. You have to be very careful about what? Places that you go to. And I don't say this because I'm trying to, you know. But there is a flavor. People go to places and you get like entering a smelly pit rat trail. And you think you will come out with your colon smelling as fresh. It will not. Now, there are things I know, for instance, about us. One of them is financial blessing. if you come here frequently and you're broke, you're the problem, not me. Amen? Even people who are not born again noticed it, and that is 10 years ago. But there are places where there is brokenness, and I know it, and I know it. You'll go there and you'll come out broke. You'll put your money there and you'll come out broke. And you'll go down, 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 and let your life be evidence. Don't just excite yourself. First, we have the word. The word. The word produces results. Without results, you have nothing. Praise the Lord. You have what? Nothing. The word has to come out with results. Now, I'm going to these people. They go to a certain place on Thursday. I know because this one told me. That your brother told you to what? You are going to, you continue going there, you'll see. It will even eat your shoes. You know, there is a place, there are places where the curse is so strong. You know, in the scripture, there is a curse which even eats the timber and the wood in the house. It's there. Have you seen it in what? What book is that? Haggai. Where even it eats the timber in your house. Praise the Lord. Now, are you ready for a blessing? Yeah? Are you ready for a blessing? Okay, restoration. Let me speak restoration upon you. I know you've suffered a lot of loss. Now, in the name of Jesus, what's your name?
Mark.
Mark, and what's yours?
Maureen.
Mark and Maureen, in the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing that restores everything. Everything. Now, the thief has been found out, and he restores sevenfold. And you will see that the Lord restores the years that the locust has eaten. And he restores them to you. And they will come and they will grow. And what has been a trend in the negative will start being a trend in the positive. Now I lift off every curse, every sub-financial separation. I lift it off you in the name of Jesus. And I command it, and I can see it going right now. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. And I speak a blessing upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we finished. Now let us. Now it's time for tea. This man is saying amen as if he couldn't wait. This man found the Zechariah. It shall be enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who's. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with its timber and stones. A curse which consumes stones. No jokes. Praise the Lord. Get your offering. Let me pray for it. If you get healed, please come and testify. It's important that you do. Just hold it in your hand. Before they collect it, just hold it in your hand. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. For each and every person who connects here this day, I pray in the name of Jesus that there is a blessing that multiplies, a blessing that uplifts, that multiplies in the name of Jesus. I thank you because there is an uplifting, financial uplifting for each and everybody. And I speak a blessing upon each and every person here that connects in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, and doors are opened. Doors are opened for you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
That was The Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at The Watchman Grounds, opposite Mukwaya Hospital, near the American Embassy, along the main Gabal Road. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.